Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Happy Sunday. So happy we are here together this morning in the safe space called the Sunrise Project, full of love and compassion on this beautiful Sunday morning. Surely where I am. Don't know where all of you all are, but happy you're here for this next 55 minutes or so. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Okay, and that has a lot of meaning on this particular Sunday morning, 2 days out from what is probably the biggest election of our time. Before we get into that and our conversation today, let me just share that our beautiful and wonderful resident expert, Dr. Linda McGee, is back with us this morning. I'm so happy to have her here with us. Dr. McGee, as most of you know, is a clinical psychologist, attorney, and nationally recognized mental health expert and speaker. Met some people coming in. Dr. McGee has been featured broadly and widely in the Washington Post, Forbes, New York Times, Huffington Post, Grown and Blown, and on BET's America in Black mental health special. She has provided commentary for Washingtonian Magazine and has been a and has served on the clinical faculty at the Washington School of Psychiatry and is a former adjunct professor at George Washington University.
Current.
Current, I said former,
Yeah.
current. Thank you, Dr. McGee.
No worries.
I'm having a moment this morning.
Don't
But
worry about it.
Dr. McGee is a current professor at George Washington University and the Chicago School of Professional Psychology. She serves as a former president of the Maryland Psychological Association, and she is a compassionate leader who seeks to bridge differences and shed light, which is what she's going to be doing with us this morning. She has been with us here at the Sunrise Project since the very beginning in February of 2020 and is a regular expert and guest here and friend here of the Sunrise Project. So this morning, first, let me say thank you for being here, Dr. McGee. Really appreciate it. I know you are away celebrating a birthday weekend with one of your good friends. And I know that when we do that, it's often hard to get up and do this because you're
I'm not gonna tell tales or name names, but it's been a fun weekend.
Oh, awesome. I'm so glad. I'm glad you're
And
having a great day.
I'm out here in Lewis, Delaware, in a small place that I have out here, and this is my happy, peaceful place, y'all. And hopefully that you all have found those spaces for yourself.
Yeah.
So thank you, Kelly, for the welcome. I never plug like any work or speech or anything, but I do want to say, Kelly, if it's okay with you, this book
Please,
chapter.
please.
So it was just published in a book called Essentials on Multicultural Assessment, a chapter called Assessing Black Clients. And I'll put the title in the chat at some point in time in this hour. I just want to say that I'm really proud because the diagnosing Black individuals is a science and an art, and I'm so happy to have the privilege to be able to shed light on the unique issues that we face with assessing our children and diagnosing our children
That's
and
fantastic.
adults.
Yeah, so you do diagnosis for children and adults,
Yes.
testing. How does
Yes.
talk more about that before we get in our topic for today? Or
I do psychological assessments, and within the psychology world, that's what I'm known the most for. I teach it. I teach forensic assessment, which is a court-based assessment, but I mainly specialize in the assessment of learning disorders, the assessment of ADHD, and the assessment of mood disorders, thought disorders. And so what I try to do for people that need it is give them a complete picture of their social, emotional, academic, and intellectual functioning. So, and they get you get those, some of you have seen these with your children. You get these big reports that sort of summarize where you are and where you need to go. So that's what I do. And so this is my second book chapter. This the first one was on culture in terms of diagnosing bipolar, in terms of the differences, how Black people, how women are misdiagnosed, and everything around culture impacts diagnosis. So this chapter that I just wrote is particularly focused on assessing Black clients and then the unique traumas and struggles that we face before we even get to the testing room, and how children and adults present in the testing room a lot of times when they're Black, and the things that clinicians need to take into consideration.
That's fantastic. Congratulations. That's
Thank you.
really
Thank
good.
you.
That sounds fantastic. And I know you did the testing for my sons, or was really phenomenal because you helped us with working through some of the diagnoses and the options and all of that good stuff. So thank you. Thank
Yes,
you for that as
I'm
well.
really, really meaning that it's a privilege because, to have the opportunity to do this, it means that I'm taking a step back from practice to be able to write. And what I want to do is like have sort of a impact on the field where other clinicians are more mindful of culture.
That's fantastic. I think it would be awesome if all clinicians dealing with our children, share the same culture, share the same
Yeah,
background. And if that
well,
is the
the
case.
thing, yes, the thing is that, there's only 4% of psychologists in the United States are Black. And so, it's my training and my books goes to them, but it also goes to the other 96% of clinicians who will more than likely not be facing your child or you.
We need to take those considerations into
Yep.
that. Yes. So, you mentioned bipolar. You mentioned anxiety and depression. And if you didn't, I know you specialize in both of those as well. And I know as we think about this election that's in 2 days, 48 hours, all the headlines are talking about how anxiety is real. Election anxiety is real, no matter who you're voting for. And this, our conversation is not going to be about telling people who to vote for
Nope.
at all. Although we do have our people that we are hoping win, but we're not going to talk about that here. We want to talk about how do we deal with, how do we manage election anxiety, and how can we move through these next 2 days, and importantly, Tuesday, the day, the evening, that's the topic for today. So I want to turn it over to you to give us your thoughts on this.
So what I want to say first is that you have to look at this election in the context of history. And we have a long history regard to race, with regard to culture, with regard to gender, and a lot of it is not positive. And so as a result, we're a polarized nation. And so when you look at it in that perspective, you can sort of understand why we're here the way why we are where we are, which is that we have a lot of undealt with issues. And so when people say election anxiety, I just want to sort of clarify that, we are talking about people being anxious. But in many ways, we're talking about people feeling post-traumatic stress. And whether that's post-traumatic stress from, being in a certain culture, whether that's post-traumatic stress from the 2016 election results, whether that's post-traumatic stress about hearing negative ideas from one person or the other. But it's really a large part of what we're feeling is post-traumatic. And to just understand that when you are looking at everything that's going on, it's triggering. So it triggers anxiety. It triggers some of the things that we feel, which is like inability, watching the news coverage, following the polls incessantly. Last night we were up and looking at Saturday Night Live. But every time you watch it, it triggers more anxiety because why? You're worried about the result. And this is a real concern for people who are going to be impacted by the results of the election. So it's not all in your head, it's real. So I just wanted to outline what we're feeling. People feel their heart palpitation, they can't sleep, they are upset, they are confrontational with people, and we're at a point, an inflection point in the country where like I was in a faculty meeting, Kelly, on Friday at George Washington, and basically the universities in the surrounding area, including Howard, where that are going to be hosting the vice president, they're basically expecting the worst. I feel like we're gearing up for like riots or trouble. So we, all the universities in the DC DMV, including GW, have these contingency plans for Tuesday and for Wednesday. And I just don't think a lot's going to be done this week for the education of your children that you all are paying for. So there is that. So I just, before, Kelly, you asked me anything else, and we're obviously going to talk about ways to address your anxiety, but I wanted to just sort of give you the backdrop and to see if either you or D have any sort of questions or things that have come to your head about this election and how people are feeling about it. Or anybody from the audience.
D has her hand up. Go ahead, D.
Hi, good morning, Dr. Linda.
Hey, D.
So my question, a huge question, deals more so with after the election, not necessarily the results, but you see a lot of social media posts where people say, don't be divided. It's just an election. You have a right to choose who you want to lead the nation, and all those things I do agree with. I think what's hard for a lot of people is how do you maintain healthy and positive relationships with people who have shown that you have fundamental differences and beliefs? So
Well,
it,
okay, so I think that's a really good question. What do you do? And this is really tough because some of our disagreements are not about whether our tax percentages should be 24 or 20%. Some of our disagreements have to do with marginalization and oppression. And I think that it is okay for you to build your alliances and friendships about people that align with your values. I don't encourage violence, obviously, and I don't even encourage discourtesy. But in order for you to take care of your own mental health, I do encourage distance because you're dealing with people, a lot of which are not, you're not going to change their mind. And if they encounter, if you encounter them or if they approach you, your best bet is just to discontinue the contact. To sort of limit your relationships. And I feel like it's okay to do that. Normally, I do not say distance yourself. I tell people to keep talking, but under situations like this, I encourage you to take care of your own mental health. Another issue that has come up is like your safety. So I definitely encourage people, please do not put yourself in an unsafe situation to try to oppose or confront someone who has an opposite view from you, or who is yelling and screaming at you, because and I'm gonna just keep this real. People are packing, y'all, and they have weapons and guns, and they're looking to provoke you, okay, into a response that can trigger their response. So I'm asking everybody that's listening, I hope that you all tell your friends, is your personal safety and the safety of your family is first. So please do not put yourself in an unsafe situation to deal with this political situation. And then the third thing before we talk about specific tips, and I want to see if Kelly had any feedback, is to when someone asks you or if someone talks to you and they want to talk to you rationally, you can choose or not choose to speak with them. Right? Like, there have been a couple of people that I have spoken to about this situation and my opinions, but I choose very carefully whom I'm speaking to right now, because like I said, the level of discourse is not good. And I worry. So this week, pay a particular care to who's around you and your surroundings. Pay particular care to your own mental health. And if that means that working at home this week and turning off the TV is a good thing, right? If that's good for you. And the one last thing I want to say before we talk about specifics and I get Kelly's input is, Election Day is the end of the election. It is not necessarily in the country right now the arbiter of the final results. Right. And, you know, we can talk about why that is the way it is, but there's the counting is taking longer. And so just understand that we may be waiting longer than Election Day to find out the results of the election. And I want you all to be very mindful of your coworkers, of your family members who might be having a hard time dealing with it, and give people their opportunity to sort of be a resource for them. Hopefully they will be a resource to you, but to for you to actively speak with people that help you to stay safe and help you, I mean, psychologically safe, and to help you keep your own mental stability. Kelly, is that what you were thinking about also? Is this like how people take care of themselves during this period?
Yeah, I think there's several things that you said that I think are interesting and worth exploring further. I think you mentioned something which I thought was interesting. I have not seen the Saturday Night Live episode last night yet. And you mentioned it, and I was assuming it would be a funny light moment, but you mentioned it in the space of negative stressors. And so
Well, I mean, it was the vice president's part was funny, but you know, I mean, all of it was funny, but you know, it's a political campaign and it was sharp, on both sides. I mean, we have gotten, you know, but you know. You know, the former president was not portrayed, he was portrayed by a fictional person, by an actor. And the vice president was there in person. So she was able to put her best foot forward. But you know, just to say that even satire now is biting. You
Interesting.
know, and honestly, the level of discourse, you know, the things that we're talking about that we see in this election cycle. I mean, when is the last time we talk about some of these things that are just profane and not nice and putting down people and calling people, you know, out of their names? And, you know, it's a lot. And, you know, we talk about politics and maybe, you know, we talk about, you know, we take these things for granted, but I do not remember in open discussions people calling people bisexual parts and trash and all of these things that we've been hearing.
I do think that it's caught this election has been much more tumultuous than any other election, and I know there have been people talking about that. What I have had to do in my space is trying to not have the news on 24/7, and
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, since 2016, I have limited my viewing of what they call legacy media. I do more reading, but it was my own self-care thing. And I don't know if I told you this, Kelly, but I've done this several panels on election anxiety. And this year, because of the things that I told y'all the last time I was here that I'm dealing with, I decided to only do one election anxiety panel because that was making me anxious, right? Is actually getting, you know, on a stage or on a camera and talking about these issues, it's stressful. So, you know, I wasn't really pining about the quality of the show. It's just that, Kelly, everybody's got their own perception of all of this stuff now. And half the population views it, what the other side does is the worst thing that ever happened.
Right.
And unfortunately, regardless of what happens in this election, we're gonna have to deal with it. The people that have hate in their hearts. If you don't mind, I'll take a question or two from the chat.
Yes.
Someone asked about what to do in terms of their children at PWIs and HBCUs. She has one child in both. And so my advice is, like, a lot of people, it depends on how they're feeling. If they're feeling like they want to stay on campus, regardless of where they are in the country, that's fine. But I would have a chat with both children about being mindful of their surroundings this particular week. Maybe this is the time you stay a little bit closer to campus. Maybe you don't go into the surrounding town, or and you're careful when you go out. That would be my advice. There might be protests, there might be things that they want to be involved in, and if they want to and they can do it safely, I would say that's okay. But if they have any doubt about their safety, then I would advise them to, think twice. And the last thing I want to say is that a lot of colleges are doing online this week. And so a couple of my clients that I have remaining are coming home. And this was parent weekend for a lot of the colleges. So some of the kids had longer breaks this weekend. And, if your child feels comfortable about doing online, if it's offered, then I would let them do it. But I would first just sort of query them to see where they are, right? If they're feeling, good, just remind them of some safety things that we talked about. If they're feeling like they want to be, basically in their room, they need to check on university policy. But to emphasize safety over everything, not fear, but safety. It's just common sense. Another thing in the chat, ask about people you already have some kind of relationship with, neighbors, coworkers, friends. It's brought out sides that I never knew existed, that their tolerance toward mistreatment of other people, laughing at people. How do we continue to smile and have everyday interactions with these people? That's the question, is do you? Right? Because some of us are dealing with children who have disabilities. Some of us have children or who are veterans ourselves. Some of us are from various ethnic backgrounds that are the butt of jokes. So I just, like, fundamentally wonder, like, if it's just a smile, if it's just a wave at them, if you want to continue that, that's fine. But as far as any deeper relationships, I think that you should go with your gut. And if every time you see that person, you can't, you're so mad and you're disgusted or you have negative feelings, I think you should honor those feelings and not try to press things down just for the sake of pleasantries.
Right. I was going to say that would be tough for me. I think I know myself. I would not be able to have
It has, I
that
mean,
fake
Kelly and I were
relationship.
talking about somebody that I know before we came on the air, and it has fundamentally changed the way that I view her. Am I courteous? Yes. But do I, hang out with her anymore? No.
But like the neighbors, coworkers, friends, et cetera, I think, that's a lot of soul searching, but I think
Right.
ultimately it comes back to being true to ourselves and
Right.
honoring ourselves. And if somebody is disturbing our peace, then I
Right.
think it's for us to decide if we allow that to continue or not. But
And we
we
and
have
you
a
know,
choice.
like, we have to deal with people. Some people we have to deal with, but we're trained to, like, be professional, right? Socialized to be professional. And I think in those situations, being professional is okay. But I had this situation come up in some of the trainings where people have actually had to agree to not talk about the political situation at work because, because it was causing too much stress. And those rules had to be enforced when one side wanted to do it regardless of the sort of strictures. And, so I think that it's really, you have to search your heart about some of these people. And some of them might require you to, seem like, listen, this is what's happening. You're making fun of this group, or you're talking about this group, or you feel this way about this group, and that hits me. Just letting them know
Right.
without, confronting them that hurts. And you don't even have to be a member of the group to feel fear and upset and, just genuine disgust about the way that people are being dehumanized.
Yeah, some of the ads, I was visiting my mom in Ohio recently. Some of the ads were just
I had a speech in St. Louis,
unbelievable.
and then I went through Indiana, which is where I'm from, y'all, Evansville, Indiana, and flew back through Louisville. And the ads that I didn't see on those three jurisdictions, oh, they were disgusting.
Really bad. And so for people that are being marginalized or talked about, or so many of so many of our communities, it's just really hard. So I would have a tough time with that question that's in the chat about how do you smile at those people? I would not be able to, I don't think. And I think there's a way to back off without, like you said, without being confrontational, because we're not trying to incite any sort of
The
violence
first
or anything.
lady, I mean, when I say the first lady, I mean Michelle Obama. Michelle Obama says that, has this phrase about quiet ghosting, right? Where she just like slowly backs away from people. And I think that that is a way that you can effectively deal with it. And because sometimes you can't confront, and sometimes you know that confronting is not is going to be, you already know that it's not going to give you anything.
I love
And
that quiet ghosting.
when people are willfully blind, that's another thing. Like we should like research this. Is willful blindness is that when people refuse to see the truth, even when it's put before them. And what I see right now is a lot of people that are willfully blind. And we think that offering them facts, they're either willfully blind in that offering them facts is useless, or what they say about why they support the person is a subterfuge for racism, misogyny, and dehumanization and oppression.
The willful blindness. The challenge I had this debate with again with my mother the other day, and there are a couple networks that she only watches, and it is they're very opinionated, and I happen to agree with those opinions. However, I was always taught the news is supposed to report just the facts and not opinion. So,
Well, I mean, I think the one thing that people can agree on, I mean, the one thing that's like unifying most of America right now is the fact that the established media, the legacy media is really not serving us. I mean, when you have something that like almost 100% of the people can agree on, because the sort of ownership by corporations and all of this is sort of like emphasizes the horse race, emphasizes the us versus them, emphasizes like both-siderism, right? Both sides have that. This guy has that too. So why are you saying this? And so we've gotten away from like objective-based reporting. And it all becomes about a horse race, the and guiding their narrative, the narrative, whatever narrative sort of dictates the ratings. And also, and this is something that I'm looking into for something I want to write, is misinformation. And misinformation that is targeted by foreign powers, including Russia, that are aimed at African Americans. Right? I mean, there are specific things that have been caught in the last few days that have been specifically targeted to African Americans. And so, like, we just have to be aware of the fact that, they're trying to manipulate Black people in order to seek a specific end. So misinformation and just the proliferation of social media is, really impactful in terms of us feeling anxious. So if it's okay, Kelly, maybe I can turn to some of the solutions
Yes, please.
or some of the things that and if you all have specific circumstances and things that you want to share, or you can put it in the chat while I talk a little bit about, solutions. So it's not going to come as any surprise to you that I'm going to start with yourself. Check in with yourself. How are you feeling? Are you so anxious you can't function or concentrate? Are you managing? I'm managing it this year, even though the stakes are extremely high. I am managing it.
How are you
How
managing it?
am I managing it? Well, I mean, you guys heard me the last time I was on the phone. I have bigger fish to fry right now. And so my own mental, physical health, I have, like I said, I've suffered a lot of loss this year. And to be honest with you, it puts it all in perspective. But I have also limited my work around this issue. And I didn't deliberately haven't done speaking engagements around racial oppression and marginalization in the last few weeks. Because when you're out there presenting our history, our heritage, our marginalization and trauma, it is in fact traumatizing. Speaking to larger audiences that are confronting you, denigrating you, teaching where the kids are like, they don't believe in diversity education. I mean, all of that takes a toll. So I've like limited that this semester. I have also elected not to do a lot of media around the election. And I turned off up until last week, I pretty much have turned off the TV. I've been checking in a little bit lately, but as soon as there's a panel on that like makes me upset, I turn it off. To be honest with you, like I saw something yesterday. Kelly, what really annoys me the most is when they have these people of so-called undecided voters on, and that just triggers me so hard because I mean it's first of all, it's just a lie, and they're not undecided. This is the most opposite election where the people are so different from each other that being undecided and talking about doing your research when it's 2 days before the election, like when are you actually going to do the research, and where are you going to do the research? And a lot of the people are attention seeking, so that just bothers me because so much is at stake that they're sitting on TV talking about, and particularly to be honest with you, people of color, that they're weighing what the advantages are. Turning off the TV, sometimes you too have to get away from the relatives and the people that D was referring to, right? So you're going to check in with how you're feeling. If you're feeling anxious, employ more steps, right? To feel less anxious. I've been doing some strict self-care where I got up this morning and did my yoga, my breathing, my meditation, whatever your scripture reading, whatever it takes to ha help you to feel calm. And everybody got that person in their life. I was going to say something, like that radical cousin or that, and you just need to like not be around them right now. I'm just going to be honest with you. It's like hold off from seeing them for a week. You don't need to listen to everybody, even if they're in your family. And that goes double with coworkers. I mean, I've had to tell several people that have approached me in professional and personal settings. It's like, I'm not talking about that right now and keep walking. And I mean it. Like, they're not going to force my engagement. You own your time. You own your body and your mind and your opinions, and you have to think about them as commodities. You do not have to give them to people because they want it, right? And you know, basically just say no.
Keep walking. I love that. Someone asked me, I just want to pause on that for a hot second because someone was asking me at my day job company, you know, are we going to get the day off for voting? And I said, well, I think a lot of people have already voted, or there's mail-in ballots, there's early voting in almost every state. And if you need time off to vote, please feel free to take it. But we have work to do. And this is, you know, we have a lot of work to do with our clients, but absolutely, please vote. You know, please vote.
Yeah.
Let the fact so that I have a meeting stop you.
Right.
But make sure you work it out like everything else. You have a doctor's appointment, go to the doctor. But
right.
Taking
and you know, to be honest with you, there is voting. You know, voting is important. And so I cannot tell you how important it is. And that's one of the actions you can take to try to control negative feelings is to exercise your power as an American and vote. But voting is not going to cure all of this trauma.
That's right.
And I want to be really clear about that. You know, we have to take ownership. I really, another group of people that traumatized me is people like, well, I'm just not even going to vote. You know, that is also triggering to me. So I have to turn them off also. Because I think about the stakes. I think about the fact that it's just easy to sort of say, I'm going to lay back. Right. And, you know, let everybody else fight battles. Right. And that our forefathers, our ancestors fought for and died for. But I also think that voting is a power, helping is a power. And these powers are traditional methods that you cure racial trauma with. Right. So it's not just that we process the trauma like we have on this call, like we talk about our feelings and we process them. Liberation therapy and trauma-based therapy has a component of action. So you take the reins and you go out and you try to do something about your trauma. And so helping at the polls, voting, phone banking, contributing money, you know, because I'm a lawyer, a lot of times I work voter protection on election day. So I go to the polls and I help people of any persuasion. I don't know who they're voting for, but I help them to be able to vote. Right. So if you're driving people to the polls or whatever you're doing, get out there and do something, even if it's just to convince the people in your family or your, you know, like I always remind my son to vote. We live in Maryland. And so, you know, we have a mailing system and all of our votes are in and have been, we've gotten emails from Maryland to say that they have been counted and have had them for a couple of weeks now.
Awesome.
So, you know, get out there and energize yourself. And even if you're just doing something positive this week that has nothing to do with the election, like you're volunteering or you're doing something, something that makes you feel like that you are part of the positive discourse in this country and the positive force for change and the positive force for community and the positive force for kindness and discussions that are centered around things that we have you know, some control over how we treat our neighbors, that we're in this as a collective, right? Things that we, you know, and things that we have in common. So also don't just think about, D is reminding me of this. Don't just think of the national elections. Think about every single office, you know, that is on your ballot. Because the change starts in your community. So you've seen a lot in the communities about school boards, about local, you know, local boards having huge influences. So vote up and down your ballot. Don't just vote for the president. There are states, for those of you who are out there listening, where you can register and vote on the same day. There are still states today, it's only 9:42 Eastern time. There are still states that have souls to the polls, because I know there's a couple of people from, I think Pennsylvania is still open, but I check online
Certain states are
Georgia.
open today for
Yeah.
voting.
So make sure that you know, don't trap yourself to just election day voting if you can, because it's going to be heavy. And in the battleground states, it's going to be very heavy. So like if you can vote today, vote today. Go get in line and vote today. Like I said, a lot of the I know North Carolina is having souls to the polls today. There's a lot of I have friends out there in North Carolina canvassing now. So vote and vote up and down your ballot, because that really influences how the country is run. And the last thing I want to just say is that if it gets to be too much, address that within yourself too. Remember I said to check in with your feelings? It's okay to feel emotional. It's okay to feel sick to your stomach. It's okay to celebrate. It's okay to look at milestones. It's okay to say goodbye to people that you want to say goodbye to in political life. It's all okay. And I want to sort of just give you license again to prioritize your self-care. Have a plan for yourself. If you could, if after you left this call today, you could just jot down, or while we're on this call, jot down two or three things that resonated with you about what you would like to try to do. Even if you just want to set aside 5 minutes to pray for everyone. I was on a prayer call this morning and they prayed for everyone, prayed for the nation, prayed for the people that were running for office. So, however it is you can take care of yourself, have a plan for it.
I love that. Love that. And I think also, even with our children, to think about the fact that many of us have grown children or people that might be voting for the first time, making sure they have their plan if they haven't voted already
I
or they
make
haven't
sure that
mailed
I
in.
always celebrate that, even though I don't think this is my son's first election. But he is, I'm so glad you voted. Like I really try to encourage that. I've been taking him to the polls with me since he was in my arms. And to emphasize that, like, we're not gonna change is incremental. It's not fast. And the people that understand the long game in this country are the people that get progress.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Are there any other questions or comments or thoughts for Dr. Linda about this?
Yeah, just checking in too. Like, how are you doing? And it doesn't have to be about the election.
Yeah, I think for me, turning the TV off has helped
Yep,
significantly. Or just
same here.
watching Saturday night crazy TV. I'm not gonna call it trash TV, but watching some of the crazy shows is a nice, just
Yep,
a
I told
getting
people,
away from it.
like, you're gonna have to look at the OWN channel, which is Kelly's preference.
Bravo. Like some of my friends
Mine is
on those shows.
Netflix, Emily in Paris, whatever it is, the Bridgertons, whatever it is that is going to distract you from the
Some
craziness.
escapism. That's it. It's escape TV.
Yeah,
And sometimes
it is
it's fun.
okay.
That's it. Agree. Well, there's a hand up. Yes, please. You can hit star six or come off of mute if you're on your computer. Feel free. Good morning. We'll see if she pops off of mute. I would like to say we are having a get together. We've been talking for years now of getting together with our Sunrise Village. And so Dee has pushed really beautifully to make this happen. So thank you, Dee. We are actually
Yes,
together in,
D.
yes, here in DC.
Keeping me and Kelly on track.
Yes, talk about forever. So we're going to get together around the National Harbor the first weekend in December. So very informal, no real agenda other than getting together and loving one another in person, the same way we do on Sunday mornings. So it will be more information to come, but it's going to be that Friday, December 6th, and Saturday, December 7th, with a painting experience on Friday evening. And for people who want to stay out at the National Harbor, we can. It's a little bit of a trek for me, so I'll be staying out there. And Dee has put together a beautiful flyer and information, and we'll send that out this week. So that is coming. And people picked DC. I was shooting for Florida, but everybody voted to stay in. Well, people, a lot of us are here in the area, so we'll be in the DMV. For those of you who want to come in town, the closest airport is Reagan National Airport, DCA. More to come, but that'll be
Kaylee,
that.
the link to
I
register is in the chat.
Of course it is, because gee, you're so fabulous. Thank you. So Dee has a
Awesome.
registration link in the chat, and you probably have all kinds of information. Please go ahead, Dee.
Well, no, I was just going to say the person with their hand raised put a note in the chat saying they can't get it to work to come off mute.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. Let me see if I can try. I see the person's name, and I cannot. It only says ask to unmute. So I'm doing that, but sorry about that. Well, if you want to type your note or your question in the chat, feel free to do so. I'm sorry it's not working for you. Oh, and she's coming back in a different way. So let's see, maybe this will work.
Sorry, guys, that it just wasn't letting me be great.
Oh, no problem.
Well, come on in. Now, with that introduction, you got to come be great now. Bring it.
I didn't even hear the introduction, but I appreciate whatever somebody said. But I just wanted to share one of, I don't know if it's just I'd never paid it any attention before, but I noticed this year more than ever, I guess because I'm still more still these days. However, I'm noticing that now on TV they're announcing the national voter registration and stating that, you can see how many times people have voted, but not who they voted for, but kind of just go and look. But I just thought it was, for me, strange, because that would bring some concern, because if you can go just look and see if somebody, who's been voting, who's not, you can almost become a target, which creates a concern for, me, for people in the public. So
Yes,
that was just
people.
new.
People can say they can find out if you're registered, where you're registered, and whether you have voted and your party affiliation, right? But a lot of times, and that's why people a lot of times have put no voter affiliation, or independent, because they don't want people to know. I too think that that's interesting, that that's publicly available information, particularly. But and I wonder if both either of us would think that way if we weren't in the times that we're in, right? It was more innocuous 10 years ago, but now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I don't know if I want people to know all that. And like Maryland, like I said, the Maryland database shows, that you voted, and that how you voted, like, mail-in ballot or whatever. So that's a lot of information, and I, guard you all to be protective of your information right now.
Yeah, and
Are
I
you
just think that's key for to make your kids aware, like she was stating, Kelly was stating earlier, so first time voters, and then I like the feedback about campuses, because kids are on the first time on college campuses and need to be aware of their safety as well. So thanks for sharing that.
But this is something that I feel like the parents really have to like click in on. Those of you that are parents out there, and those of you who have nieces, nephews, cousins, it's just check in with them today. Hey, cousin, just make sure you're safe this week. What, is your school open? Just you sort of get in their business a little bit. And just because a lot of times when you're 18 or 19, you're not really thinking about personal safety and your surroundings. And so a lot of times if their cousin checks in or their aunt checks in or their moms check in and say, hey, I need to talk to you at 6 o'clock at night. I just got a couple of things I just want to talk to you about. And talk to them about what their plan is for this week. And just
And
to
for
make sure
Tuesday.
that they're making intentional choices.
And for Tuesday. And it's interesting, I think, and also there's a fine line, because you don't want to incite fear
Yes,
within your family, but you
no.
also want people to be safe. There's that
No,
fine.
I mean, but like I said, approaching it like, hey, it's election week this week. I was wondering if you had thought about, you know, did you hear anything? Or I saw that your college sent out this thing, because they send a lot of times they send the things to the parents. Like, have you seen it? And what do you think? And to start the discussion in an innocuous way, not like, you know, fear mongering.
Right.
Because the kids are very upset. Like, I taught a class of doctoral candidates, and there were people that were crying. We had an open discussion about the election anxiety, and they were crying. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of stress.
And you're teaching in D.C., in the D.C. area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, you know, in my class, in my cohort, there's a lot of gay people. There are a lot of people from international countries that are scared, that are around the world, that are scared that change in leadership might result in them not being able to continue their studies. Fear for their personal safety. And this is real fear, y'all. Attacks against Latin Americans, people of Latino descent are up. Asians are up, Blacks are up. All these are acts of violence geared toward people. These are real fears. They're not just in our imagination. The FBI is confirming these stats.
Right. Well, we're going to pray for everybody, like you said, for
let's do that today. Let's do that today, you know, in our last prayer. If we could just please, I never asked this, but to pray that cooler heads prevail.
Mm-hmm. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I really appreciate you being here this morning, Dr. Linda. I know you have a lot going on. So many people have a lot going on. You have a lot that you are dealing with, as you shared personally. And so really appreciate you being here this morning with us, because you could have easily said, I'm not doing it today. But thank you for always being here for us, and for being such a great light, and sharing such great tips this morning for us and for our children and for our families. Appreciate you as always. And we'll pray for you as well.
Thank you. I accept those.
Absolutely. And then Dr. Vicki Johnson, who is such an amazing angel for so many of us. If you could please close us out in a prayer this morning.
Hey Dr. Nikki.
Hello, Dr. Linda. How are you? Thank you so much. Thank you so much for today. You're always just so full of what I like to say, the wisdom of God, you know, dispersed here for us on Sundays at the Sunrise Project. And Kelly and Dee, thank you both for just being on the front line so willingly and so courageously as you are, Dr. Linda. So God, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day that you have given to us, and this moment of a safe space, a sacred space, a space of truth and light and love, security, stability, wisdom, information. We're grateful today. You said in your word, in everything give thanks, for this is your will for us in Christ Jesus concerning each of us. And so we thank you today that we're able to stand on your word that says you've not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. That if we need wisdom, if we lack wisdom, all we have to do is ask for it. Thank you that our steps are ordered by you. So God, we lift up our country this week. We lift up every political candidate this week, because the heart of the king is in your hands. And so while we might not feel safe trusting in people that we see that are running for office, we feel safe because we are hidden in you. And you have promised that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, that every tongue that rises against us in judgment, you shall condemn. So God, thank you for the opportunity to be a shadow of protection for us, to be a secret place for us. Thank you for every parent on this call, that you continue to pour into us wisdom that we might be able to offer to our children. Thank you that we are settled in you, as your word is settled in heaven. We thank you that we don't trust in our own hearts, but we lean to you in all things, in all ways, and that you have given us all sufficiency for all things unto every good work. That's your word that you said would not return to you void, but that it would accomplish everything to which it is sent. So we thank you for great peace. We thank you for peace that surpasses all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. Thank you that we don't have to be anxious for anything, but with thanksgiving, we make our supplications known to you. Thank you for the Sunrise Project. Thank you for the work of Dr. Linda's hands. Thank you for perfecting everything in every area of her life that concerns Dr. Linda, that concerns Kelly, that concerns Dee, that concerns every parent, mother, and father who is on this call, man and woman that is on this call. We give you glory for all of these things. We trust you with our whole hearts. And we know that no matter what happens on Tuesday, that all things work together for our good and for your glory, because you are God and we trust you. Now, as we go into this day, keep us safe, keep us aware, keep us situationally aware. Help us not to take unnecessary chances and risks, but to be still and know that you are God. And we believe to see your goodness in the land of the living that you have promised to each of us. In Jesus' name, we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Have a powerful day, everyone. And thank you for being here. We'll talk again next week.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Have a great week, everyone.
Mm-hmm.